So the message of the day is that the vocation of motherhood is sacramental. Sacramental in the sense that there are things in life that are signs that point to a greater spiritual reality. And there is a sense in which motherhood is one of those things, shining light on aspects of God's love that we would not otherwise be able to access apart from the image and the actions of motherhood. And whether your experience of being a mom is awesome or mixed, and whether your experience of being mothered was awesome or mixed, the reality of motherhood is sacramental, and it tells us something about what it means to be human. It tells us something about our heart's deepest longings. And more importantly than that, it tells us something about the beauty of God's all-satisfying love. And that's what today's message is about. Now, before I move into some scripture, I want to say that the idea that God's love is maternal, that God's love is like the love of a mother, that's a little bit of a mind bender, and I will even in the message get tied up in my language because of like gender things. Jesus addressed God as his father, and so Christians throughout the centuries have done so. But we should not take that to mean that God is a man. And in spiritual cultures where people think of God as a man, it's possible also to diminish the value of women, to think that men are more like God than women. And if it's not abundantly clear here, let's make it explicit that that most definitely is not true. When God created humanity in his image, he created them male and female. That's at the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, 27. The image of God is male and female. So again, in a way that's mysterious and beyond our capacity to articulate things well, God is beyond a singular gender. Okay, so that leads us into the land of mystery, and there's no way to answer all our questions about that, and if you wanted to, you could have all kinds of questions, and I can have a conversation with you if you'd like about why it is we call God Father, then there are interesting reasons for that. But let me just say this before I launch off into our main text for today, that when we call God our Father, it is not a declaration that God is male. It is very important, though, for us to take it as a declaration that God is not an abstraction, that God is not an energy. God is not merely a life force. I mean, God is a life force, you know, but God's not like waves of energy that we try to tune into. God has revealed God's self to us as deeply personal. God is the God who loves and who, blowing away our minds, for whom it matters whether we respond in love. God is a person. And Scripture makes generous use of both fatherly and motherly images to elucidate the character of God and the love of God, which in turn elucidate the landscape of our souls, the deep hole in our heart, the deep need that we have for both fatherly and motherly love. That in the Western church, we give primary place to masculine images and sometimes masculine leadership in the church. And so it's a good thing on Mother's Day to talk about the unique gifts of God's maternal love. Now, before we get into the text, one last thing. I recently talked to a priest. I was at a retreat center in Malibu. It's a good place to go to a retreat, by the way. So I was talking to these two priests. They happen to be working with a ministry in Los Angeles that focuses on helping people get out of gangs. Okay, this is a ministry called Homeboy Industries. So they're working with both men and women who've like experienced the tough parts of life. Some of them are, have experienced violence. They're victims of violence. So some of them are perpetrators of violence. Some have been in prison. Some of them have wrestled with addiction the entirety of their lives. And these two priests were psychologists and spiritual directors. So they provide spiritual coaching for the homeboys in the ministry. And I took a walk with them, and I thought, that's so fascinating to provide spiritual direction or guidance for these folks. Tell me about what that experience is like. And it was a very interesting conversation, but at the center of it, they were saying that there is a deep need, a deep hole in the hearts of all these folks for feminine love. And they talked about the power of the figure of Mary, the mother of Jesus. So that's like hard for us as Protestant peoples to grasp where that fits in. But he's just telling us that there is a great healing power in presenting Mary, the mother of Jesus, to a wounded soul. These priests are saying to us that we all have a need to be mothered beyond what we've experienced. Even if your mother was the most awesome mother in the world, it's part of what it means for us to be human. So, what are the gifts of God's motherly love? Let me just name a couple of things. One is the gift of a love that is uniquely attentive in its maternal presence. That's the revelation of Scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 10. This is God, it says, God found them. God found Israel in a desert land, in an empty, howling wasteland. He surrounded them and watched over them. He guarded them as the apple of his eye. And then the maternal imagery that's explicit. Like an eagle that rouses her chicks and hovers over her young, so he spread his wings to take them up and carried them safely on his pinions. The Lord alone guided them, and they followed no foreign gods. In this story, God is like a mother who finds an abandoned child in the wilderness. Now, this would have been common imagery in ancient days, a subsistence culture that was in which famines would have been common, and in those famines, children that could not be fed, cast aside on the side of the road. Terrible world. And in this howling, empty wasteland, the Scripture says that God is like a mother strolling along who hears the cry, who sees the child, whose heart is fired with compassion. And it says that God surrounds us. In the midst of our need, in the midst of our abandonment, God surrounds us. It's a picture of embrace, of warmth. It says that God embraces us, that God guards us and protects us in the midst of the elements, in the midst of all of the ways in which we're vulnerable to attack. God is protecting us. It's saying that though we are like ragamuffins, beaten and tattered and malnourished, we are nevertheless, even in that moment, before we've been cleaned up, the apple of God's eye. God has a mother's heart and a mother's attentiveness. I asked some River people to write about their experience, either of their mothers or the observation of their spouse as mother. This is one tribute written by a River dad describing his world and family system, clearly with daughters, as you'll see as the story is told. This father said, for the last 20 years, I've tried to be the dad that shows up. And when I do, I see that magically the dance slippers and cute outfits are already on. The hair in place, the sports uniforms ordered, the gear purchased, the theater tickets bought, the league signups handled, the summer camps registered for, the family vacation organized, the groceries purchased, and the meals planned and made. All already accomplished by mom. Over the years, with so many balls in the air, amazingly, it's exceedingly rare for one of them to be dropped. The only ones I recall are when I dropped the one ball that I was given to run with. Thanks, Dad. And this is signed, a husband in perpetual state of awe and tremendous gratitude. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, we could applaud for that. He's describing a mother who is uncommonly attentive. And I know we can say dads should be attentive too, but you know, even in a world where we're trying to make everything equal, it's not so much a stretch to say that mom has a head start, you know, that the presence of mother to child from the time of gestation, the attentiveness to the very movement of a child, constant feeding. Mother is uniquely designed to be attentive. The scripture says that God is like a mother eagle. God hovers over and carries us in strength. And mom's intention here in this eagle picture is not just to take care of the eagle, though certainly true, but to teach that eagle to fly, to achieve its destiny. And we all, every single one of us here, have a deep longing to know that someone's eye is upon us in that way. To turn a little bit more sober, this is the time of year, the last handful of years anyways, which we remember the story of George Floyd, who was murdered in Minnesota. You might remember, if you're aware of that story, that when he was dying in the middle of the street, gasping for air, he cried out for his mother. Terence Cline, a Catholic priest, wrote these words about that experience. Miss Sissy, he's speaking of George Floyd's mother here, Miss Sissy had died 2 years earlier. But anyone who has read close accounts of battles knows that young men often die calling upon their mothers. That's how important you are. Truth be told, they are calling upon God. As their worlds close in upon them, they cry out the name of the presence that first opened the worlds to them. The smile, the embrace, the voice they learned to call mama. Now that's a dramatic and extreme story, but I wonder if you can find a place of connection with your need and your longing for a mothering presence. I was thinking as I was like preparing for this message on the walk, and I was thinking about my undergraduate years, those interesting years of sort of pseudo-individuation. Right? You're out there on your own. I was out there on my own. I was paying my own bills with the money that my parents gave me, you know. I was doing my own laundry, not very often, you know, all that sort of stuff. And I was like independent. I was my own man until one day I got the flu, and I was absolutely miserable. And in my misery, laying in bed, aching with the fever, the first thing that came to my mind was that instinct to call my mom. And my mom, of course, made a big pot of soup, and she came up to see me, and I was comforted so that I could go about my pseudo-individuation, you know, a long process. And in my mid-30s, I had a cancer scare. And it was profoundly threatening, of course, and I had 2 children at the time and thought, this is not unfolding in the way that I imagined it would unfold, and what are we going to do? And I had all sorts of feelings that I could not name because I just felt numb at the challenge. I could not unpack what was there. It was all locked up inside me. At that time, I was living thousands of miles away from my parents, but I got on the phone and I talked to my mom, and I can still remember this is now 25 years ago, and my mom saying with tenderness, are you afraid? And there's just something about the tone of a mother's voice, keys to a person's soul, even an out-of-touch person, that unlocked everything, and all of the tears came pouring forth. Yes, I am terribly afraid. And in my late 30s, I need the comfort that a mother can bring uniquely. Friends, when you are in an empty place, when you are in the howling wilderness, when the elements around you feel greater than you could withstand, God says to you, I am like the mother who sees your need. And even though you feel profoundly alone today, I am watching over you. I am attuned to your hunger. I am attuned to your need. I will raise you up. You will be okay. A mother's love is beautiful. It's unique in its attentiveness. And God is the fulfillment of that longing for us. And the other quality I want to say briefly is that God's maternal love is the gift of full presence, of constancy, of being there for us. In Isaiah chapter 49, verse 15, the prophet says, rhetorically, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born?" To which the answer is, "That's very hard to imagine." And then he says, "Though she may forget, it's possible. It's not likely, it's possible." But God says, "I will never, ever forget you. It cannot happen. It is not in the heart of God to abandon a child." Now, it's very important for us to understand this text is about the suffering that Israel has gone through. You know, Israel birthed as a nation, saved out of slavery, into a land of its own. There was a brief period of prosperity, of glory, the season of who we know now as King David. And then idolatry and suffering, cast away into exile, conquered by stronger nations, humiliated, set in prisons. They were people then who in a foreign land felt like they had been abandoned or orphaned. They would come to understand along that way that part of that was a discipline from God for their sin. It was because of their foolishness, their idolatry, their waywardness that life had deteriorated for them. But even in the midst of their sin, even in the midst of their failure, even in the midst of their foolishness, God speaks to them tenderly and says, "I will never abandon you. I am still with you in your season of darkness, in your season of pain, in your season of chaos, in your season of shame. I am with you. I will not forget you." We think of the physical contact of a nursing mother. That's the image that God is giving here. That's what he says I'm like. And we now know today from like medical perspective that in the physical contact of mother holding child, there are profound and important developmental chemical reactions that are happening. The release of hormones, of oxytocin and prolactin and all kinds of things that I don't know exactly what they are, but they're very important for our development. They're very important for what we call secure attachment. Attachment referring to affection, trust, pleasure, and security. And we now know today that that kind of attachment that comes from leaning on mother's breast is necessary for a person to be able to take risks, to fail and then to succeed, to be picked on at school and to endure shame and to cast off that shame. The kid needs more than good instruction, although good instruction is certainly important. They need a secure foundation. And that secure foundation, in the first place, comes from mother's love. It comes from mother's love. A bunch of years ago, there was a river trip to Romania, the nation of Romania. And if you know the story of that nation, through to the 1980s, the nation was torn apart by a terrible dictator named Nicolae Ceausescu. There were awful things you wouldn't even call orphanages. There were places that warehoused tons of children that were barely fed and barely taken care of. And when I first came to the river, there were like some dozen people that went to Romania, and part of their ministry was to go to those quote-unquote orphanages and to pick up and hold the children. And one of the people that came back, I had a conversation with, and I said, "What in the world was like that?" You know, and this person said it was an incredibly intimidating experience, that in those places, the children do not grow up. And what she was saying was that a child that is not touched, a child that is not held physically, does not physically grow. Their physical growth is stunted. And their brain development is stunted as well. The joy center, I think it's the right orbital prefrontal cortex, is diminished. The capacity to move into the world and take up the space that we are intended to take does not happen. And as terrible as that is, and that's incredibly terrible, part of the ministry was being in that space of reversing that deterioration, that the act of holding children, even children who have not experienced tenderness, is restorative, that those kids can begin to grow again. That was the ministry of our team that went to Romania in those years. And that, I do think, is a meaningful parable of humanity, that rich or poor, successful, unsuccessful, many of us at times in the challenges of life feel orphaned. We feel like we are on our own. Whatever our experience of having a mother was like, whether it was awesome or mixed, we all long for a compassion that we have not yet experienced. The hole in our hearts is that deep. We long to be held in arms of love that are greater than mother's arms. And when we do not experience tender affection, our development is stunted. Our capacity to move through our failures and the shame that comes our way, our capacity to respond to discipline that's necessary, is all stunted. And God employs here the imagery of a nursing mother to whisper to our shaken souls. And I suspect there are many of us here today whose souls are shaken by the circumstances of life. In those moments, God is saying, I am like a nursing mother. I am present to you today to give my very self to you. I will never forget you. I am giving myself to you that you might thrive. That's what God is like. Friends, God's motherly love is powerful to heal, to save our soul. But it will not nourish us unto life unless we drink it in over and over again, day by day. The biblical story gives us a warning. God's people often neglect to drink that milk in. In Deuteronomy 32:18, that beautiful imagery about God being like a mother eagle is interrupted by this reality. It says, you were unmindful of the rock that bore you, and you forgot the God who gave you birth. They forgot the God who gave them birth, and everything fell apart for them, as it does in human lives as well. I have an embarrassing story to tell about my adolescence. I was going through that phase of trying to become my own self. Individuation takes its own kind of journey. For a young boy especially, my ego run amok. I know I seem like a nice person, disrespectful as an adolescent. I got into a fight with my mom. And then when my dad came home from work, we had words about it. You know, I was just with my dad. He was sitting down with me, and I was like, you know, in unguarded way, just kind of trying to set the record straight. And I remember, this is a long time ago, but I remember saying, like, what does she know? You know, what does mom know? And I said, this might be an exact quote because it's burned into my experience, but I said, what does she ever do for me? You know. I'm sure your children will not do that to you. That was me. I was like a bad seed. This will be a direct quote as well. This is a long time ago, but I don't know if I remember my dad ever being angrier with me than in that moment. Now, my dad is not a person prone to very much anger, a very gentle soul, but he was angry in that moment, and his eyes blazed with fire. And his one short answer to me, which I remember well, was, she bore you. And I understood in that moment, was like, okay, it's getting clearer, you know. You know, let's get a grip on reality. You know, it's like, adolescent me, I think I'm wise, you're not that wise. You know, I think I have navigated my life and I'm, you know, charting my own course, and my dad is saying to me, you've lost grip with reality. You need to understand your dependence. You have been carried your entire life. You don't have any wisdom that you did not receive from someone else. You are the object of long-suffering love. The only reason that any of us are who we are today is because somebody bore us. A mother bore us in the most physical of senses. And beyond mom, God bore us as well. We are a people who have been carried. We are a people who have received gift after gift after gift when we were vulnerable and had absolutely nothing to contribute to the family system. And this is the only foundation for a life of sanity, reality, maturity, and ultimately resilience. And so I want to call us all to remembrance today. I want to call us all to remember the gift that mothers bring. Whatever mistakes may have been made along the way, she bore you. And I want to call us to remember the great need that we all have for a love that we did not earn. And friends, in the big picture of things, we have earned very little of what we have. And I want to call us all to remembrance of the God whose maternal love is ever present, whose love is like milk that will nourish our thirsty souls if we learn to drink it in. Whatever our moms were like, many of us live with an unfulfilled longing for maternal love, a love that's attentive and constant, fierce, tender, and nourishing. And many moms are haunted by impossibly high standards and ideals and the fear that they haven't done enough. And if that's you, I speak a word of peace and freedom to you. Be blessed. The good news is that human motherhood is merely a sacrament of the greater reality for which you and I were created. Motherhood points us to the God who can and will satisfy our soul's deepest longing. So wherever you are on your spiritual journey today, I want to tell you there is a God who seeks you out in the howling, empty wilderness, and who watches over you in delight even when you feel ugly, who gives himself to you with co-suffering love. He is with you and will not abandon you. And if you open your heart today, your life will be transformed. You will receive courage that you might thrive and that you might fly. We open our hearts to God in prayer to receive God's blessing. And I want to invite Pastor Michelle to come offer a blessing to you. And the worship team can come now as well. It seemed good today to not make a mother preach, but also to give a mother voice in the shaping of our morning. So welcome your to Michelle's leadership.
I love to pray over us this morning, and you know, being aware that you've been sitting for a while listening, just encourage you to do what you need to do with your body to sort of freshen your awareness toward God as we go to prayer. So let's pray. God, we thank you for the awareness that you deeply desire that we would know you, and that knowing would feel tangible. And we thank you for the way in which you have given us images that help us to grasp aspects of what you're like. And today we give you thanks that you are a mothering God. And we hold on to this reality that you attend to us like the best of mothers attend to their children. Would you open our awareness to how that is so? As I was anticipating this morning and thinking about that image of attentive mothering, I had two pictures come to mind. And the first was of just direct intimacy between a mother and a child, face to face, eyes gazing into eyes with delight, with knowing love. And so I ask God that you would open each of our imaginations to see you like that, the one who cups our face, who gazes upon us directly with more loving attention than we can hardly take. To the extent that you can access something of that now, I just ask you to drink it in. What you see, what you feel, how it affects you. But there's a second image that came to me that's also a deep expression, I think, of the attentive, mothering love of God, but different. And we joke about mothers having eyes in the back of their heads. We can never somehow be outside of their awareness. But the best of that is true. And I had this picture of God as the mother whose eyes are on the child occupied in other things. The child playing, working, just in conversation with others. And the mother across the space, gazing over with knowing, loving attention. God's attention to us is not dependent on our attention to God. So God, would you make us aware and awake to how you follow us with your gaze of love at all times? And would you help that gaze of love to have its full effect in our lives, that it would strengthen us from the inside, that we would know who we are, whose we are, what kind of love looks upon us always, and be set free to live with each day's challenges, with the challenges of our lifetime, because we know we rest secure. Lord, that's what we ask for today. And we ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen.